What it is, everybody? Welcome to episode 32 of Fish and Connoisseur Movie. My name's David Pether, but you can call me Fish. With me, as always, is my favorite sack of shit,
Connor McDuff!
Connor McDuff. And you've got a friend there, Connor. Who have we got?
I do indeed. We've got Belle with us today.
Oh my God, so honored to be in the studio.
Shut up, you little shit. By studio, she of course means my room and my desk covered in trash right now. So yeah, I can feel you honor there.
The shared headphone setup is one of the more professional I've worked
with. Yeah, it's a set of Apple earphones. I've got the one in my right here and she's got the one in her left. It's all right.
Hey, spared no expense in this Fish and Connoisseur Movie podcast. Yep. Hey, Belle, thanks for coming to the show. It's good to have you here.
Good to be here.
Well, on this episode of Fish and Connoisseur Movie, later on we will be reviewing one of the latest films, The Age of Adeline.
What?
That's the one you saw, right?
Oh, fuck. Oh, shit. I saw the wrong film.
You saw Paul Blart, didn't you?
I saw the wrong film again.
Did you see Mall Cop 2 three times?
I saw Mall Cop 2 three times.
Did you say you saw The Longest Ride again?
Yeah.
You know what? I kind of feel like that after seeing Age of Adeline, but anyway, we'll get on to that. You did see that movie, right, Connor?
All right.
Don't fucking lie to me. Belle, you've seen it, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Belle has seen Age of Adeline, am I right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, at least me and Belle can have a conversation. Okay, but before we get onto that shit, I want to talk a little bit about some of the big teasers that were released over the last week. One of your favorite movies if not the most anticipated movie of your life, Connor McDuff.
Star Wars!
The new teaser. What did you think?
Fucking yes! I'm so excited. Oh my God. There's a fucking Star Destroyer fucking crashed in the desert and shit. Fucking Luke's there touching R2-D2. Little soccer ball droid. Fucking John Boyega. He's like, what up, bitch? I'm Stormtrooper. And I'm so erect right now. I'm so fucking erect. I want to see this movie so bad.
It was all right.
Belle, oh, I swear to God.
It was all right.
Are you a Star Wars fan, Belle?
No, I fucking love it. I've been doing, like, I'm pretending I have the Force in the shower and stuff all this week. It's really gotten out of hand.
Okay, but, and it didn't really blow your mind?
It blew both of our minds
really, it did it for me. Got it going again.
Now, Belle, I'm not exactly the biggest Star Wars fan. I'm not. Like against Star Wars by any means, I definitely like them, but it's the one franchise that I've never been as crazy fanboy about.
It's because you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know what it is. I didn't grow up on it like most people did. I was a Jurassic Park was my thing.
Ninja I wish Turtles I'd known this before I agreed to do a podcast with someone who hates Star Wars.
Hey. I never said hate.
I came here to have a good time, and I'm honestly feeling so attacked right now.
What have you done, Fish? You've ruined Bol's life.
This is what people do. I go in and I say, look, I'm just not obsessed with it. If you'd have seen my house, Belle, you would know that I'm a fanboy of just about everything else in the world.
Fish's house is just like, it's just everything is fucking fan shit. Like his lounge room is just. He's got, like, Ninja Turtle coasters, and he's got cabinets full of Ninja Turtle shit and, like, Mortal Kombat and Spider-Man.
Why would you be a Ninja Turtle when you can be in space?
That's a good point.
But that's really a good question.
That's a good point.
You know, it is, but still Ninja Turtles are just much cooler to me. I don't know. Raphael's angst problems just really speak to me, you know.
Well,
what I mean?
You and David Attenborough.
David Attenborough. Look, I'm not fucking dissing on Star Wars by any means. That's what I'm trying to say
here.
Star
Wars and
listen. Can we stop having a fucking domestic on the show, please? And get back to the fact that the trailer was the tits. Did you enjoy the trailer, Fish?
Yes, I did. Which is where I was trying to go with this before I was brutally attacked by our nude guest. But no, it looks fucking sick, doesn't it? Like, it looks so fucking pretty.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see this movie. And that's what I was trying to say, Belle, is that I'm not like, yeah, I'm kind of like, yeah, cool, Star Wars.
I'm just very defensive when it comes to Star Wars. I'll tone it down a little, I suppose.
No, please don't. I like it. It's fun. I like having arguments. Me and Connor haven't had many of them lately, so, you know.
Yeah, we both pretty much fucking hated the last two films. Like, both of us hated the last two films, so it's been a pretty... Not hated, but they've just been even.
Yeah, everything's been pretty even lately. It's sad. It's a sad state of events. But, there was a lot brought into it. Mark Hamill doing the voiceover was really cool.
Yeah.
Seeing Chewie and Han at the end. Fucking even I had fucking goosebumps seeing that shit. That but that's made a bit of a splash around the interwebs at the moment, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's fucking amazing. I'm so excited. Oh my god. Oh my god.
The next one I want to talk about is the new Batman v Superman
teaser
that's finally been released. Have you guys both seen this?
Yeah, did you see it?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
I could not care less.
Really?
I was just very pleased with the kind of universe that Nolan created. I like that tone. I like that tone of superhero.
To be honest, I think I agree. But I don't think the Dark Knight series is a superhero film at all.
No, but I'd love to see. We keep coming back to comic books, and we have been for maybe the last 5 years, and I'd love to see, you know, another interpretation of this source material.
Mm. What did you think, Fish?
Yeah, the first time I watched it, I was all giddy and like, oh, finally, it's fucking here, you know, Ben Affleck's Batman, which is fucking fantastic. I think it's still one of the best casting choices of
all time. Yeah, it looks a lot.
I don't know about those fucking glowing eyes on Batman, though. That's not very cool.
I thought it was fucking awesome. Like, he's clearly built... That's the only bit of the trailer I liked was seeing Batman, because he looked like Batman from Dark Knight Returns. Like, he looked awesome. He was all, like, mech'd up so he could actually kick the shit out of Superman, and his eyes were, like, night vision. I thought it was fucking cool.
Yeah, I don't know. See, that's... especially on my second viewing of it, I kind of was like... I don't know. I don't really like the mech'd up look. I definitely don't like the glowing eyes, and I don't like the electronic sound of his voice.
I think that's that suit is specifically for Superman, though, to be honest.
Well, I could probably agree with that, but it just doesn't like the suit itself when he's like looking at it in the case.
Mm.
I thought it has like that furrowed brow, like that cranky look on its face.
It's a different suit, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, obviously. Yeah. Well, Batman, he has a shit ton of suits. He's kind of like fucking Iron Man, isn't he? He has different things for different situations. But it's... I'm really keen to see Affleck as Bruce Wayne and Batman. There were some really cool shots of Batman, like in his cave and stuff like that. But something about that final shot that just... it didn't work for me.
I actually thought it was the best part of the trailer. I'm actually really keen to see what direction they take it in. It doesn't look too fucking lame. Doesn't look too dark like the Nolan franchise. And to be honest, Superman does not fit in. And if you're going to make a Justice League film, you can't have a dark franchise because it makes no fucking sense.
No.
To have, like, if the biggest problem in Gotham is a nuke blowing up by Bane, why doesn't Superman fly in, grab the fucking thing and fly away? Like it.
Yeah.
I think that they're trying to hit a tone similar to what Marvel's done with the Avengers, but it's got a more darker sort of side to it, like DC Comics does comparison to Marvel. Now, Marvel's always been a brighter sort of franchise.
At least lately it has. In the 90s, Marvel was pretty dark, but in the comics at least. But in terms of tone, I don't have any problem with it at all, because you're absolutely right. It can't go Dark Knight. That just doesn't work. As much as I really didn't like Man of Steel, I liked the tone that it brought, and I think if they stick to that tone through these films, I'll be happy with that.
Its tone in Man of Steel was really good. The film itself, but the tone was okay. Like, I kind of really appreciated the sort of direction they were going in. They were very much trying to adapt from what Nolan did. because it worked really well, and they were trying to put their own spin on it to give it more of a franchise sort of feel, which they have and which they're going to do. Whether it does well is to be known, because I honestly just think once Avengers 3 comes out and that ends, I think the superhero franchise is going to slowly dwindle a little bit. It'll still be there because they'll still be lifting shit up. But, I mean, you lose RDJ, you lose the original cast, and regardless of how well the other ones do, it will not be as good, and fans will feel that way, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like Justice League will just not live up to those expectations because, really, Superman's boring and overpowered. Man of Steel wasn't the best film already. Batman will be the appeal, and Wonder Woman, fuck off. Ugh, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care anymore.
I'm more interested in the, you know, the smaller franchises like Suicide Squad and things like that. But
Suicide Squad looks so fucking cool. Will Smith, J-Lo.
Yeah, it's I think what DC has coming will, once this Batman v Superman movie comes out, that's really gonna set the standard. And if it works, like. And really bring something new to the superhero genre, which is going to be really tough in this day and age. We'll see what they've got.
Is it a two-parter?
Oh, God, I hope not.
I fucking hope not. I've heard it is. Is it? Do you know?
I don't think it's part one, part two, but I think it's like a...
It's like a it's series. It's a lead-on. Yeah. Well, I know that Wonder Woman makes an appearance, Aquaman makes an appearance, like...
There'll be a few lead-ins to the rest of the
Flash. Is the Flash from the show The Flash that's going to be in this franchise?
I'm not sure.
You do that?
Yeah, well, I've heard they are. Like, I know Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is all meant to be leading up to it, but I feel like, is the Flash? I don't know. Who knows?
I have a feeling that it's not. For some reason, I think it's a different universe. I know the Marvel, like the Daredevil and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are all part of the same universe, but I'm not sure if DC are doing the same thing. Because the tone of Arrow and Flash is nothing like what they're trying to sell with Batman v Superman. From what I'm getting, at least.
Look, I'm excited to see what happens, but I mean. It's just another one of those franchises. I don't really care. Like, the only franchises I've ever been excited about are Star Wars and,
Harry Potter.
No, not Harry Potter, Belle. Fuck. Bella's like the biggest Harry Potter fan.
Oh, wow. You'd get along well with my girlfriend.
Yeah. Beck's a big fan, too.
Let's do a Harry Potter podcast.
No, let's never do a Harry Potter podcast right in our lives. No. No! Stop hijacking this with Harry Potter. But the only two franchises I've ever been excited for, Bell's a Harry Potter, I've been that and the Dark Knight trilogy. Mm. Like, I can still remember considering I was at a school camp for 4 days in year 11, and the last day of camp, The Dark Knight came out, The Dark Knight Rises, and I was trying to figure out whether or not I should find a way to get home early so I could see the film. I still remember trying to do that. I didn't do that. I ended up just spending the day at camp and then waiting until 5 o'clock, and then I just raced to the cinema and saw it. But fuck, man, I was so excited for that film.
Did you cry when Alfred left?
No, I didn't cry at all. I actually expected it. Dark Knight Rises is my least favorite of the three.
Yeah, but it's the one that...
Didn't cry.
No, it's no good, but I like it very much. When Michael Caine's voice breaks, he's such a...
I failed you.
I choked up.
Bro, what a tough cookie being overcome by overwhelming emotion. Fuck off, Connor.
I'm sorry, I didn't cry.
Oh, wow. I like this girl. Okay, well, I guess in terms of franchises, like I am excited for it. I am a big Batman fan, but honestly, seeing the teaser, I kind of wasn't as excited as I thought I would be. Yeah. It kind of was a little like it was a good teaser, and it'll probably be a good movie, but it's kind of the build up to it so far is we've only been leaked like a picture of fucking Ben Affleck in the bat suit, or little bits and pieces here and there, or that leaked footage from fucking Comic-Con, just little bits and pieces that, it's been so mysterious until now. Now it's kind of out of the bag. It's like, oh, well, it's...
Well, yeah, it's a 2016 okay. release as well, which is such a fucking while away. Like, oh.
I know.
So far. Then again, Star Wars was meant to be 2016, but Disney's forcing Abrams to release it in December.
Yeah. But it's
really weird. Have you guys noticed? It's so strange. On the Star Wars trailer, it comes up this Christmas. Yeah. I've never considered Christmas and Star Wars
in the same, yeah.
In any kind of, there is I no have. Christmas in Star
I
Wars.
I have because of the Star Wars Christmas special that exists. But yeah, fucking Luke Skywalker goes to Kashyyyk and spends Christmas on Kashyyyk. Not even joking. But yeah, no, it's strange, yeah. Yeah, back on topic though, I think, I don't know. I don't know about how excited I am. We'll see.
Well, it's one of those things, like, you hit it on the head before, with any sort of superhero movie these days, I'm kind of not even as amped as I feel I should be, with even with fucking Age of Ultron coming out next week, you know, I went and booked some IMAX tickets just before, because I was like, oh,
yeah.
I'm gonna have to see it, so I may as well see it on a big fucking screen,
yeah.
But even a year ago, Age of Ultron was like, fuck, I cannot wait for that movie. I was so on like the Avenger train.
Yeah.
But I've brought this up before on the podcast, but I do with superheroes, I come in and out because it's just so oversaturated now that it's hard to be as excited about it as the first wave of Marvel films.
I agree. Like, Avengers 2 is the most bland fucking shit. Sorry. Let me put that back up. My Avengers 2 is the most bland fucking thing I can think of seeing. Like, honestly, it just looks like Avengers 1. I'm sure it'll be fun and stuff, but I don't know. It doesn't add anything to the table. There's no sort of climate, like, cliffhanger for me because I know there's a third one coming and I know it's meant to be the big one. So I feel like it's almost just fill up for what's going to be happening next.
I'm, like, keeping an open mind. The stuff I've heard from the early press screenings is that it's different. Like, it's not lighthearted. Like, this is the one where Joss Whedon fucks them all up. And I always love seeing people crying in movies and death and devastation.
Well, hopefully it takes that. It takes that sort of turn. I really hope it's not filler. I really hope it's not like, hey, wait for the third one, buddy. Because that's what every Marvel film is now. Guardians of the Galaxy is just like, oh, Infinity Stone. I loved Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm looking at the poster right now. But I don't know. I'm just worried it's going to be filler. That's my fear.
See, I don't think it's going to be filler at all. I think it's the Avengers movies that are like, you know, they're the pay-per-views of the fucking... That's where shit changes. That's where shit goes down. I'm not saying that it's not going to be a good film. This time next week when we're talking about it, I'm sure I'm going to be fucking raving about it in some regard and be excited about it because I like those characters and I like what they do and it's bringing... I like the Ultron story. I've read that comic. I'm excited to see how they adapt it without fucking X-Men and Spider-Man. But I'm just not as excited to see it. If you know it, I'm not amped to see it. Like I'm not doubting that it's gonna be. It's the one that we've been waiting for. Like, you know, since Avengers, basically, nothing really has changed too much in the Marvel Universe until this movie.
Yeah, now I understand,
Yeah, still keen for that, but it's like, then there's going to be however many more Marvel movies before we even get our first fucking DC movie next year.
You're right.
And it's like, it's going to water everything down. But like, you know, if DC can just bring something fucking big to the table and just blow Marvel away, which would be interesting. Yeah. All right. Well, let's move along. I finally watched a film that I've been trying to watch since the Oscars. And I'm dying to talk about it because I know you loved it. And now I fucking love it. It's a little film called Whiplash.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, man. Nice. That is a fantastic fucking movie. That's a 5 out of 5 movie for me. I loved it.
Yeah?
Loved it. I thought it was perfect. It's outrageous. It didn't even get nominated, did it?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, it was.
Was it? Or he didn't get nominated or something.
Best picture, best editing. No, J.K. Simmons won.
No, no, the main kid.
No, he didn't get nominated.
J.K. Simmons won, and it got best sound editing and editing and all this other awesome stuff, but didn't get best picture. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's maybe better than Birdman.
No.
I know you didn't like think that, but I, after watching it, I watched it at home on, you know, just on my TV, and normally with any movie, I'll get distracted by something. But that movie, I was 100% fucking focused on it and could not peel myself away from it. I actually started it late at night before I went to bed, and I was like, oh, I'll just watch half an hour and then I'll watch the rest tomorrow. Nah, I stayed up, watched the whole thing. Totally into the story, into the characters. I just loved how fucking dedicated that kid was to being the best drummer. It was just, especially after he gets hit by a fucking car and shit like that, like to run and play in his own blood and stuff like that. Would just, man, it just, I can't even begin to say how good that film was.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think it did a lot really well. It was very entertaining. It was cut so well. The editing was just amazing. But same with sound. Don't think it deserved Best Picture at all. It's a very generic sort of story, and it was pretty predictable. But I really enjoyed it. And J.K. Simmons shouldn't have won Best Supporting Actor either.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then who should have?
Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, that's.
He didn't do anything.
It's awesome.
Yeah, that's a tough call. I think Mark Ruffalo.
I'll just give Mark Ruffalo an Oscar because he's Mark Ruffalo.
No, but he was really good.
Yeah.
Did you?
He was just really awesome. Kind. Just because you fell in love with him.
No, I thought he was. I thought he was. It was really well acted. And if it wasn't him, it should have been Edward Norton. It was well acted. It was great.
That Foxcatcher, Mark Ruffalo wasn't playing Mark Ruffalo for a change. That's what I felt. That's what we talked about in our review of that. And it was just he just became that character for me. Whereas J.K. Simmons was playing J.K. Simmons, just a little angrier.
Thank you.
Not fucking a bad thing by any means. Like, yeah, he definitely deserves.
If we're talking about people playing themselves this supporting actor Oscar season, Edward Norton was literally a parody himself, of himself.
But I mean, he did it fucking well.
Yeah, he did it fucking well. I'd play me really fucking well.
It was, but he was just impressive on screen. Like, it was a spoof and he just nailed it.
Yeah,
I think J.K. Simmons was just J.K. Simmons grumpy and everyone's like, he's got such a great range. I'm like, no, he fucking doesn't. He's fucking calm and then he's angry. Like, it's such a simple thing to do. It's not, I was not sitting there going, wow, what a surprise. I'm getting goosebumps watching J.K. Simmons get mad. You want to watch Mark Ruffalo on screen struggle to fucking deal with saying John DuPont's a good fucking, like, a good mentor. I'm like, whoa, that's intense, man.
Yeah.
Especially when the movie's 2.5 hours long and I can't fucking handle its length. I'm like, whoa, fucking hell. Like, you're good.
Well, that's the thing. And I think that's the big difference here is that Whiplash was actually a much more enjoyable film than Foxcatcher. So it was like, it's easier to just to sway that way, maybe. I don't know. But in if you do think of it in the way that Foxcatcher wasn't the strongest film, but the performances still stood out. That to me warrants more of a the accolades than now I don't think Whiplash is that generic by any means. Like, I think it's a more relatable story in terms of a struggling student doing what he loves is trying to you know, impress the crazy mentor. And that's what I think really spoke to me the most about it. It was like, you know, Birdman, and like, it's by a fucking hair that I probably just like Whiplash a little bit better. But it's Birdman was fucking fantastic but it's not as relatable, because not all of us have been washed up superhero, you know what I mean? Like, it's a different world, and I liked seeing into that world. And you know, you and me, Connor, and Belle, we've all studied film, and we've all gone, we're in an artistic world, so you can relate to it a little a little more. And I think that's what really spoke to me. And I liked this kid's like fucking stamina. Like he just kept pushing and just kept pushing. And even the fact, you know, like he tried to break off a relationship with a girl because he wanted to focus on his career. Like, you know, I've thought about that. I know you guys probably thought about that at some stage as well. Like they say,
certainly have.
It's like, you know, it's how serious are you? You know, sort of. And
yeah, no, like, no, you're right. You
know? It was a lot that spoke to me. And I liked it a lot more than I thought. I didn't think I wouldn't like it, but everybody, like, you know, there's a big thing going around at the moment is that Whiplash should have won the Oscar. And I was always like, no, you know, I haven't seen it, but fucking Birdman was near on perfect. I don't know if it deserved an Oscar, but it's just a little better than Birdman for me. But I can understand why Birdman would win the Oscar over it, if that makes sense.
Because a better film.
I think more it's an Oscar bait film more than Whiplash is. But you know. Anyway, let's get on to some Age of Adeline, eh?
Yay! Age of Adeline!
You want to talk about Age of Adeline, Connor?
Yeah.
With us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really she lived in all the different times.
Do you have a little plot synopsis ready, Fish?
Nope. It's yours today, buddy.
Oh, get fucked. Okay. Anyway, my favorite job, telling everyone the plot of the film. Age of Adeline follows Adeline, a girl who, after a mysterious accident, does not age. She had, by the time we find her in the film, she's about 108 years old or 106 years old or something, and she doesn't age. She has to run from every place she's at every decade, so people can't find her. She changes her name, the way she looks, which is bullshit because she looks the exact same in every decade, but the way she looks, and everything's going swimmingly until she meets a guy that she really likes. She realizes she doesn't want to run anymore and decides that she wants to be with this guy and start a life and eventually tell him the truth. And she says, look, let's meet my family. She goes to meet his family. And when she meets them, the father recognizes her, Harrison Ford. And it turns out Harrison Ford was one of Adeline's previous lovers. And so Adeline bullshits and she's like, no, just that's my mother, blah, blah, blah. And Harrison Ford's still a little like, what the fuck? Eventually, Harrison Ford finds out. He realizes by finding a cut on Adeline's hand that he recognized because he was there when that cut happened 50 years ago, whatever it was. And he confronts her and says he knows what's going on. And she freaks out. She runs away and gets into and out on her way to wherever the fuck she's going. She realizes she doesn't want to run away more. She's sick of running. She goes to turn around to find Widow with a Beardo and gets hit by a car and is in a near-death accident. And because of her near-death accident and the fact that it was snowing and blah, 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 and she's safe, she's defibrillated, she begins to age again. And she tells the guy that she was 100-and-something years old, introduces him to her daughter, who's like 90-something, and they live happily ever after. Well, not ever after, because eventually she's going to die. But they live for another 40 or so years or however, I don't know. But yeah, that's the end.
That's it.
Fucking don't have to do it next week.
Yeah, good one. Okay, well, first of all, I think it's a pretty cool premise to this idea of a girl who can't age. There's like endless possibilities that you could play with.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no.
And they don't. They really don't do much with it.
They do take the most shallow route, don't they?
Well, basically the first two-thirds of the film is just a straight up just boring love story with you know, Beardy McBeardbeard, Ellis, and and you know, Blake Lively just falling in love and this is where I was
falling in very reluctant love.
Yeah, fucking hell. Yeah, can we bring that up? That Weirdo with a Beardo was a creep?
Yeah, fucking oath. He was a fucking idiot, man. I hated that guy. I hated everything about that dude. The actor, just yeah. And just that character was fucking shit.
Yeah, he was awful. I don't understand how a woman who's 108 years old falls for someone who pursues her at work, at a party, and at home.
It was very Fifty Shades of Grey.
Yeah, it was very Fifty Shades.
That's it. My biggest thing was, okay, look, I get the idea of that she, you know, she's aging, so she moves on from everywhere as soon as, you know, yeah.
Sometimes she has a fringe and sometimes she doesn't have a...
But fuck, yeah. She's got nice tits and nice butt. She's always thin.
Yeah.
And has blonde hair.
That's it, yeah.
Because if you're going to change your appearance, don't you fucking dare change any of those.
Nothing else changes at all when you don't age. Don't you know this? But she, the fact that she's moving any time that she's in the place for long enough for somebody to realize that, you know, she could be getting some gray hairs and she's not. So she moves on. And, you know, that's kind of fun and interesting. But then... She, you know, obviously living this life of solitude, you know, never attaching herself to anyone because she's scared of the heartbreak and all that sort of stuff, which, yeah, okay, blah, blah, blah. I get it. But, like, when did she really get burned enough to be that scared of it? You know what I mean? That was my biggest issue there. But then the guy that breaks her out of this pattern... Is this guy? Like,
yeah, exactly. Like him.
Like
of the people.
To be honest, I could have accepted it more if it was Harrison Ford. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because he's fucking amazing. Yeah. Like his acting in this film was phenomenal. I couldn't believe how great he was. I was in so much shock.
Yeah.
He's the best part of this movie for sure.
Yeah, I want to.
And the first male character, which is not really probably what was intended.
Yeah.
What's that?
The most attractive man.
What was that?
Harrison Ford is the best looking dude.
Yeah, that's it. Well, we'll get on to Harrison Ford in a bit. I've got a lot to say.
Yes, about I will get on to Harrison Ford shortly.
Boom.
So beautiful.
But just like this bearded scrag muffin fucking Ellis. Like at first when he comes into that room, he's kind of mysterious at the New Year's party or whatever that they're at. He's kind of got that mysterious, he's in the suit, he's like, oh, it's like, who's this fucking guy? And then he talks, and he's a fucking idiot. He's just...
Yeah, he is.
An idiot. And, like, I... like, to me, I thought this guy was trying to be, you know, rom-com Jared Butler. That's what he was, to me, he was trying... Like, I was like, who is this guy? Like, I was trying to think if they'd casted somebody... better, somebody with a little bit more star power, maybe it would have a little bit more charisma, it's just nothing about that guy or that relationship worked for me. Like I didn't believe that they were in love, because exactly what you said, he's being a stalker and being a fucking weirdo the whole time, and she's so you know, against this shit. What is he doing that's special? Like, to me, he's doing every fucking lame trick out of the dating handbook.
Yeah, no. And she's fucking lame too. Like, the fact that she falls for it makes her a weak character. And, I mean, you're 108 years old and you're so intelligent. You'd think that someone like that doesn't fucking do that. Like,
and she's already done it with Harrison Ford. She's already had the best of the best. And now...
She's having the creepiest of the creep. Like, it doesn't make sense.
That's it. And the you know, that to me, it would have been stronger if she'd just met older Harrison Ford, remembered him, but, you know, played off that, you know, she was the daughter of the girl that he fell in love with, but then eventually fell in love with him. And this other dude wasn't even a part of it. Like, because now, well, let's get on to Harrison, because basically, thank the fuck Christ that he was in this movie, because without him in it, it was just nothing. It really, they messed up the magic that this movie could have been by making it the most generic love story of all fucking time.
Yeah, it's okay. And that brings me to my next point, which is that this film does a lot of good. It does a lot of fucking good. The cinematography is beautiful.
Yeah.
The acting from like Harrison Ford is phenomenal. In fact, all of the actors are quite capable.
And, you know, the sound design is amazing as well. And the editing, like, I've really felt for it. I thought it was a beautiful film. Like, I just thought it was so elegant and just really mirrored Adeline as a character. But for fuck's sake, that script was some of the worst writing I've ever. I'm just, oh my God. Like, that is pretty, it's pretty much, the pacing of it is pretty fucked anyway. Because the first half of the film is her falling in love. You've got so much potential to be talking and showing things that could be interesting and just relating it to that love story to maintain that momentum. But they don't do it. And the fucking dialogue is so fucking lame. Oh my God. Like, Belle had...
Tell me something I can hold on to forever and ever. Never let go. Let go.
Oh my God.
Fuck. Like, it's so lame. And for a movie that's taking on such a heavy premise and it's trying to emphasize the burden she's going through, and then to have her fall in love with a creepy fucking stalker who talks like a poet is just so annoying. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, I don't want to see this.
No, show me something cool. You're right. Because at the start of the film, I was like super into it. Like, I liked the intro to it, gave it this very like fairy tale feel.
And it was really
magical, and even I can even look past the bullshit of electricity hitting water and not killing you. But it's, you know, but it did bring clarity to one of the Friday the 13th sequels where Jason is resurrected by lightning. So that's like cool. That's a legit thing.
All the science babble probably could have been... I probably would have believed it if they'd have enough money to hire Morgan Freeman to do the voice.
I thought the narration was excellent.
Yeah, I quite liked the narration.
But I didn't believe it. But if Morgan Freeman said it, I probably would just be like, yeah, the DNA... cool.
No, you're right. You believe anything that Morgan Freeman says. but I didn't mind the narrator. You're right though. I didn't believe it to a certain extent, but I was kind of going with it. I was like, this is a fairy tale. It's magical. Yeah. It's fantastic. I'm in this fantastic world, and then it just grounds it and just like plucks it out of the air and squishes it on the ground, and it's just not as fun. And because I was expecting a romantic film for sure, but I was expecting like a fun fantasy romance. And it kind of just became, like I said, just a boring romance.
Isn't this film like 2 hours long too?
Mm.
It's a long movie.
Was it? I thought it was a bit.
It's 1 hour 50.
1 hour 50?
Mm.
It's a long film. Like, this could have been told in 90 minutes, honestly.
I felt it was quite short from watching it, but I didn't realize it was that long.
I thought it was long.
I thought it was going to be a lot longer. Let's just say that. But it has so much potential in those first scenes. Like, they open up and like it looks pretty. Everything about it is not like it. It feels like a fairy tale. It feels like a fairy tale, and then nothing. And it's a bunch of boring dates, and this is where I started feeling like I was watching The Longest Ride again, because it's just a girl telling the guy that she's moving in a week. I was like,
the script totally ruins this. Like, the script fucking like stabs this film in the back because it had so much going for it. I mean, like, it's so pretty. It's such a gorgeous film. Like, so gorgeous.
Yeah.
And
it's like so pretty.
Yeah, almost like so gorgeous. and fuck, you're never coming on the show. No, I'm just kidding. But like, it does so much right.
Well, sorry.
No, go on.
Well, the one thing that it did do right was Harrison Ford. Let's get onto that, because when he comes into it and he recognizes her, I was like, wow, yes, thank you, here we go, something, you know. It's I felt like the movie was starting, you know, like it's like it took this long for something to happen, and it was for her to get recognized from somebody in her past, and you know, going back and seeing all the old scenes of them when they were younger, I wanted to see a little bit more of that. Like, to be honest, I would have.
Yeah,
this movie was called The Age of Adeline, and we only saw like the final part of it. I wanted to see her through the ages. I wanted to see her from each, you know, I didn't need to see a bit of, like, maybe just a montage of her moving through her life. Like that's kind of how the trailers sold it to me. They sold it as, you know, period pieces as well as, you know, the modern day love that she eventually you know, settles down.
All the marketing, is geared that way. Like if you look at the poster, it's, you know, made up of, it's, you know, one photograph of Adeline made up of all these different photographs and they've all got a little year on them, you know, 1957, 1942, 1981. Like, and that was the whole draw of the film is you get to see these different eras, these beautiful costumes. It's kind of, it's just this, it looks like this nice, pleasant trip throughout time and throughout the 20th century. And we don't, it's not explored.
No.
It's such a waste of potential.
Absolutely. And that's what was most disappointing. Like I didn't need a whole movie about, you know, I didn't need whole sections of the movie dedicated to her life in each period. I just wanted at least,
you needed more.
At least to have seen her, you know, in the time with Harrison Ford's character as a young guy. Like I would have liked to seen a lot more about that. The flashbacks were kind of a cheat way of doing things, I felt. It worked to a certain extent, but like it could.
To be honest, I totally fucking I disagree though. I think that Harrison Ford's reveal was perfect. Like I honestly thought that showing that guy with the ring sitting on the chair.
I like that. Yeah, I did like that.
And then like I don't want. I wish. I didn't want to see any of Harrison Ford's character up until when I did. Like, it had to be, if we saw more of them being young, it had to be after that point because when he says Adeline, it's fucking awesome. Like, I was like, oh, my God. Maybe because Harrison Ford acted the living shit out of it. Like, his character and his acting. Oh, my God.
See,
I feel Indiana Jones could do that.
See, I feel that it might have had even more oomph if we kind of, because we wouldn't have recognized him as this younger guy, even though that guy played played young Harrison Ford very well. He even got the voice and the eyes fucking downright. But I don't know. I'm kind of on, I guess I'm on the fence with it. Like it could have been a little strong. I just would have liked to see a little bit more period stuff. And I think that was a ticket to do it. But you are right. When he does come in and say that Adeline, like that's where I got excited finally, and was like, "Oh, what's going to happen here? She's dating the son. That's got to be awkward. Now he's married with a new wife, and the wife's jealous." And it's like this. Even that stuff, they start to build up all this.
Yeah,
these pieces,
and it really goes nowhere, doesn't it?
Yeah, what?
It would have been so nice to focus on using time travel, not time travel, but like this time device as a way to explore the theme of, you know, the one that got away,
right,
the
love
I never, you know, what happens when someone.
Now I'm fucking your son! Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
There's a lot you could go by, but you're right. They don't really explore it
because it's a big build up until, you know, he sees her out in the rain, and then she's like, "Nah, sorry, I'm out," and that's
yeah. Like it's kind of like the fact that I really like that scene. I put a fingernail on my hand. Sorry, I really like that scene where you know, he's like, "I know," and like confronts her, and he's like just ridden with emotion, and so is she, but. The build up and just like the afterwards is so shit. Like, why did any of that? Like, who cares? Like, it's so. She's like, "Well, see ya." Like, she kind of just goes. She's like, "See ya, I'll take a car." She just drives away. It's like, fuck.
And can I ask something? What is she so scared of that she's always running so much? I understand that.
The FBI. They're everywhere. The FBI.
Well, I mean, I think it's more to do, like, she would, initially it makes sense because they're taking her on a plane. They're clearly going to take her somewhere and, like, cut her open and be like, "Why the fuck do you not age, woman?" Like, there would be a, you know, I think that would, it would be intense and they probably wouldn't let her go anywhere and they probably wouldn't let her do this and blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, like, wouldn't you just give up?
But that was like, what, that was like the 60s or something?
Yeah,
the 50s. That was like 50s, 60s, it was like hectic. Communism, hectic tension, like what is she, a Russian something or what's going on? Like that was a time when, yeah, I'd probably
I think once you hit the 80s, yeah, I think once you hit the 80s, you kind of just give in. Yeah,
it's probably going to be fine.
Well, my thing was that
crystal meth is big now.
I got the, I, yeah, I got it from that small scene that they, you know, they showed some guys in black hats and suits come out of the rain and fucking take her in, you know, they're going to pull her into a fucking, into a plane. Like, okay, I needed more. I needed a bit more from that, like, and I guess, you know, I guess it's, this is the boy in me coming out and being like, I want more of, you know, fucking action thriller sort of shit coming in into this romantic fucking, you know, film. But it's what I would have liked to have seen is her actually get taken in somewhere and they are going to put her under the knife and do some fucked up shit to her. Then she gets away. And there's more to that to be like, I don't know, the, just the fact that this 3 second scene of some guys in hats, you know, like make that more prevalent and make that a thing throughout
There's plenty of room in the movie for that. You could just cut out the scene with the ship or whatever, where she's like, my lunch is over now. Thanks.
You could probably cut out like maybe, I don't know, 30 minutes of the film if you got rid of every fucking extreme wide shot of the Golden Gate Bridge. For fuck's sake, how many time lapses do you want? Oh my God, if I can, if me, as a viewer, if someone who just looks at the story notices how many fucking shots of a fucking bridge you put in, you put too many in. There's too many shots of the bridge in there. I know it's relevant because she met her first love on the Golden Gate Bridge and, fucking symbol. You pricks. Stop.
But in the end, when she's just continuously running, it's like, and, you know, every little flashback of her fucking moving to a new town is her fucking rushing to the car, you know? Like, it's not just, like, why are you rushing? No one's chasing you.
No one's in your home, like, slowly walking to get you, like, just fucking chill out, man. Yeah, I don't know. I agree. It should have been more. There just should have been more, and more of her being, like, in the ages and stuff, and less, you know, I am a potential sexual offender and please love me. Like, that guy, man, he was so creepy.
There is definitely one thing there should have been more of. The real star of Age of Adeline wasn't Harrison Ford. It was the Asian lady who got the flowers.
For you. And she's just like, she's just, hey, hey. Just.
Oh, the best featured extra ever.
Yeah.
She was good.
There were two laughs when I saw this in the cinema. There were two laughs. There was for the Asian lady, and then when she writes the note to say goodbye to Ellis and she leaves, and then Ellis comes out of the bathroom and he's just covered in fucking baby oil or something, and he's like completely ripped, and everyone just had a whoo-hoo.
You hear the whole cinema when she gets T-boned the second time and the car dries off, you hear this like, oh, get fucked. Like, everyone's like, who the fuck would do that? Like, it would drive away. You know, like, it's her fault she pulled out in front. Like, you wouldn't drive away. Like, fucking hell.
Yeah.
I was like, god damn. But, that's all I have to say about this film, to be honest.
I don't know. I don't have much else to say either, I guess, except for the fact that I think it's fitting that this philanthropist's name is Ellis, who I feel he may have been named after the coke addict idiot in Die Hard. You haven't seen Ellis, Die Hard. Have you seen Die Hard?
Have you seen Die Hard?
I'm saving it.
Nope, Belle hasn't seen Die Hard. I've seen Die Hard.
Oh, you've seen Die Hard. Okay, well, that's all right. You've actually seen one good movie.
You motherfucker. You
know the douchebag Ellis in that. He's like, you know, Hans, Booby. I fucking hate that guy. And I hate this guy as well. So it's an Ellis thing.
Oh, God. I'm going to name my child Ellis.
All right. Well, let's give our final verdicts on this one. Belle, do you want to hit us with your final thoughts on Age of Adeline?
Out of 5, what do you rate it? And what are your last little thoughts?
I think it's a 3.
You think it's a 3? Why do you think it's a 3?
Well, the way I thought of it, I had a bit of a toast to the crew, all the crew below the line on that movie. It was so nice to watch. Visually, the sound was beautiful. The makeup and the costuming was lovely. By the way, her costumes, you know, that little like coat she was wearing at the thing and like her little jumper in 2014, those are Gucci pieces. They are $1,000. But she's rich. I guess it makes sense.
She'd be rich as hell, yeah.
It just does not fit to be wearing that at a library.
The library, yeah.
Someone would ask you, why have you got Gucci?
Of course you know that they're Gucci clothes. Yeah, like, I never picked up on that. I was like, nice sweater.
I love it. It's nice having a girl on the podcast for a
female
change.
Touch. Yeah.
No, but you're absolutely right. Like, if, for a girl who's trying to stay incognito, wearing fucking Gucci is going to make you stand out.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a little silly. But, like, you know, it was a really good film in some areas. Creatively, it was a real disappointment, probably.
Yeah.
There could have been a lot done. It had a lot of potential. It's probably like my favorite. I love movies with this kind of twist, like a science fiction underlay almost. It almost reminded me of like Never Let Me Go, which has this science fiction underneath it as a foundation of the story, but it's got this, you know, it's all about the human drama.
Reminded me of Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, what it reminded me of. Which is a fucking amazing film. Have you seen that? You haven't seen Eternal Sunshine, pal! Oh my god!
Didn't you only just watch it, Connor?
No, fuck you! I saw it last year, and I've watched it three times since then. It's a beautiful movie.
Have you Inception? Do you want to talk about that?
Let's not get into that. I bring it up every fucking time.
Let's talk about something else, not
any other film Connor hasn't seen. So it's all good.
You guys are bullies. Okay. Anyway, Bell gives it a 3 out of 5. Yeah. I totally agree with Bol. I think it does a lot of good, but I think it's all from aspects that aren't as important. It's just story is shit. It's got a shitty story, and because of that, you get shitty performances from all the actors, aside from H. Ford. It's got shitty direction as well. And really bad pacing. But the cinematography was beautiful. The sound design was amazing. The editing was gorgeous as well. And what I feel like the crew did everything they could to make a shitty film good. Because without that touch to it, I would have no appeal. If it wasn't for Harrison Ford, this film would be wrecked. If that was played by someone else, I wouldn't give a fuck. And like, if it didn't look as good, if it didn't sound as good, I would know and I would not care as much. And because of that, I give it a 3.5 out of 5, mainly because Harrison Ford's performance just rustled all sorts of jimmies for me. Like, it was just amazing. It was great.
Wow, that's a high score for Connor McDuff. Holy shit.
Yeah, especially for, like, a not-a-great film.
That's a high score for a shit film, Connor.
Yeah, well, you need to hear me talk about some things. I give some shit some low scores, I tell you what. My God.
Shit, you must be in a good mood today.
That's a 7 out of 10.
No, that's cool.
No, it's a 3.5 out of 5 is what it is. Different racism. Can I get into it? All right.
Okay. Well, I'm definitely on the same page as both you guys in terms of this. The script just really killed this film. For what I was really quite excited about, I don't particularly get too interested in this kind of film in the first place, but like the twist that it had on it, I like you were saying, Bell, just having a sort of like a supernatural feel, a fantastic, like a fairy tale feel to it that it did start with, and it had, like, I felt like I was reading a storybook at the start with the narration and the music and the magic of like the snow falling when she has her car crash and the lightning and the sparks, and it was just really well shot, so it just made it magical. Everything was really magical about this film until she meets Ellis, and like I was saying before, he just that guy. Every time he was on screen, I was groaning. I just couldn't stand that character. I haven't seen this guy in anything else, so I can't really judge him as an actor, but if this is all I've seen him in, I'm probably not going to like the next thing I see.
God, you fucking hate him.
I just wanted to slap him in the face for fucking this film. And it really pissed me off because it started out so strong and everything else surrounding this is so incredible. That there's just really no excuse. Like, how could they fuck this up so bad? And then even to bring in Harrison Ford, and finally I felt like things were starting, and really it was just ending. And you know, look, Blake Lively was okay. I haven't really watched her in too many things. I did not like her in this. And I thought she played this mature role quite well. but there was just so much more room for possibilities here, and so many, you know, missed opportunities, and it's really inexcusable for what they've done to this to this story, because it's such a great premise. And I think I think my score is gonna reflect my disappointment in that, rather than, you know, how, because there is a lot of good in this film, and like we've all said, the crew fucking turned up. It's just the creatives that kind of didn't, at least the writer. But I don't fucking accept that, because it's if it's got past the writing stage, it should have been.
Yeah, no.
You know, they obviously had a budget. They obviously had the fucking funds to make something really cool and magical and pretty. Why not continue doing that? So I give it a 2 out of 5. This is,
Jesus.
The more I think about it, the less I like it, and it's just how disappointing it is that really hurts it for me. So, yeah, 2 out of 5.
Nice, Jesus Christ! That's so low for someone like you, and it's so high for someone like me. Like, what's happening? What's happening to the world? God, I fucking hate everything. Like, I hate everything we watch. I resent it for some reason, but I don't know what it was about Age of Adeline. Like,
it was Harrison Ford. We know what it was about Age of Adeline.
If Harrison Ford,
you know what? If it wasn't the trailer week for Star Wars, you probably wouldn't have been thinking about.
Yeah, I'm in a pretty fucking excited. I'm in pretty good mood, to be honest. Harrison, I'm like, Jesus Christ, that movie. That's, I don't know what I'm going to do. Should I see it in VMAX? Should I see Gold Class? Like,
We should fly to Sydney and watch it in IMAX. IMAX.
But we have IMAX here.
I don't live on the Gold Coast. I just think Sydney's the
If I fly to Sydney, do you know how pissed off Fish will be? Like, he'll be like, great, now you can fucking drive down for 2 hours, down to fucking Melbourne, and you can see it with me, you little shit. So I don't think that'd be a good idea. Maybe I should drive to Melbourne soon.
There's an IMAX in Melbourne.
IMAX.
And it's huge. Yeah.
He's shooting an IMAX, so you may as well honor the format.
I'm going to see an IMAX, man. I'm going to froth.
Third biggest screen in the world in Melbourne, just saying. I don't know if it's bigger than the Sydney one, but...
Well, listen. Listen. I'm going to see it anyway. Probably three times.
So it probably was the Harrison Ford factor that brought it off. It definitely was for me. If Harrison Ford wasn't in this film, this would have been a fucking one. It would have just been a nothing. It was not good.
I love Harrison Ford.
Imagine if it was just, I don't know, I'm trying to think of some old other.
Imagine if it was just another shitty old actor. Wouldn't matter. Fucking Harrison Ford, acting like a king. Hello, Han Solo. Welcome back. Chewie, we're home. Fuck yeah. So excited. Anyway, what are we reviewing? What are we reviewing next week, Fish?
A little ditty called Avengers: Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Sounds all right. Hopefully, it's all right.
Like we said before, we're
Avengers Assemble.
Which I am seeing on the IMAX.
Yeah. So you are seeing an IMAX.
Yeah, I'm seeing on the big one.
I'm not. I'm seeing it with my coworkers.
Yeah.
In a normal sense.
So you get to,
I don't really care.
You'll get to see it before me, but I'll get to see it on a bigger screen. So
eat some shit. Anyway, that was a bit rude. I'm quite excited.
Yeah. So next week, Age of Ultron. It's the big Marvel movie that we've been that's been building up to. It's going to be one of the biggest releases of the year this far, at least.
I'm almost certain it'll get fuck all listeners too. I reckon we'll get 2 listeners compared to the 50 we got on Penguins of Madagascar for whatever fucking reason.
I think we had 100, nearly 200 for that now.
Jesus Christ.
So, yeah, but guys, we need to get...
It was an important film. Like, don't underestimate.
It was amazing. Like, David and I talked it up for an hour and a half. We were just like, this movie's great, but why the fuck does that have 200 listens? Why doesn't us talking about Hunger Games drunk have 200 listeners is what I want to know. Because that was the funniest fucking thing we've ever done. Oh, man. That was fun.
Well, please help us get more listeners for our Age of Ultron. And this particular episode, if you like this one, please go share it with your friends. Put it out there.
Share a little ditty.
Bell, get your crew on this. We need people.
Fucking listen to it, for God's sake.
You've got heaps of fans, don't you, Belle?
Yeah, my cat really likes podcasts.
Well, shit, yeah. Get your cat on. What's your cat's name?
Yeah. I don't have one.
She fucking lies. She doesn't have a cat.
We don't. We can't even get a fucking cat.
Have a cat.
Can't even get a cat to listen.
I'll get one soon.
Anyway, Bella will share it with her fucking imaginary cat. I'll share it. Fisher, everybody just share the thing. Just share the thing with the friends so people know about us, because we need the listeners. We do it every week. We act like it's a job, and we treat it like a job sometimes, because fuck, some of the shit we have to see. But goddamn, just have a little listen. Have a little listen. Have a little chat with your friends around the water cooler. Who has a water cooler? Just fucking share it. Anyway, I think I'm all done.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us tonight, Belle. It's been fun.
It's been good. I've enjoyed it.
She's enjoyed it. And now we're going to go watch Netflix all night.
Yeah.
Oh, also, I saw Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Fucking hell, that film's so great. Anyway.
We talked about that one last episode.
Ah.
But it's worth bringing up twice, because it is a fantastic
film.
That's why
you've
got... When did I see Forgetting Sarah? I can't remember. Anyway, good film.
All right, guys.
All right, play the music.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fish and Connoisseur a Movie. Fish and Connoisseur a Movie does not own any rights to the film The Age of Adeline, its marketing, or its soundtrack, and no infringement is intended. The track Oblivion is performed by M83.